up somewhere. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I don't know how I missed it because I got right there beside it. Read. The great excuse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses, I have down verses 14 through 27. You know, when people don't really want to do something, what do they start doing? Start making excuses. You know, I'm not going to say I don't ever make excuses because I do. We all do. You know, some simply have the idea, well, you know, I can't make it today because my little goldfish has got a cold and I don't want to leave him and I need to keep an eye on him. Now, I know that's kind of ridiculous, but is not some of the excuses we make just as ridiculous? As time goes by, it becomes easier and easier to make excuses for just about anything and everything that we simply do not want to do. So this morning, and please take this sermon in the way it's presented, in love and concern. So this morning, let's look at a few excuses people make for not attending Bible class and worship. You know, one of the excuses heard most often is, well, I just don't have any clothes to wear. You know, I have actually had people tell me that. And you know what my answer is to them? What are you wearing right now? You're wearing clothes, aren't you? Come in them if that's all you have. But people make excuses, well, I just don't have clothes to wear. You know, Jesus does not care about the designer clothes that you think you need to wear to attend Bible class and worship service. When excuses are made about clothing, it's not really about clothes. Clothing is not really the problem. Do you know what the problem is? It's vanity. The problem is vanity. What will people think? What will people say? You know, I'll be embarrassed. Have you ever been someplace where the clothing that you had on made you feel embarrassed? Now, granted, you can go to Walmart, okay, and you see people walking around there. They may not be embarrassed, but you're embarrassed for having to look at them. Nowhere in the pages of the New Testament do we find, thou shalt wear a suit and tie and wingtip shoes or ballroom gowns and high heels for the ladies. How many pair of pants, I'm speaking to the men here, how many pair of pants do you have? I don't even know how many I got. I've got pants in my closet that I've probably not wore in 2 or 3 years. What about shirts? Probably the same thing. I've got shirts that I've not worn. But you know what? I could take any one of those pair of pants and any one of those shirts and come to worship. Yeah, it may not be a suit and a tie, but where do we read Jesus commanding that you have to wear a suit and tie? Now, I'm not advocating that everybody come next week in clothes that you wouldn't really want to wear out in public. But what I am advocating is making our clothes an excuse for not coming to worship is not going to hold water. Notice what we find in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Well, Brother John, what in the world has that got to do with clothes? Absolutely nothing. But what it does have to do with is our love for the Lord with all. Don't you just love that little three-letter word? All. So, here we go. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with 25% of your heart. Well, what about 50%? 75. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with 75% of thy heart and with 75% of thy soul and with 75% of thy mind. Would that be acceptable? Everybody here, I know you're mentally shaking your head no. So why do we think it's acceptable to make excuses when we're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our souls, but yet we can't come to worship in Bible class? What part of all do we not understand? If we truly love God, then we will come and worship Him in the clothes that we have in our closets, regardless. You know what? And I'm saying this in love and concern, okay? I would rather have you come with the most dirtiest clothes that you have, with holes in them, than not come at all. What about you? Would you want to see your brothers or sisters come and perhaps the only clothes that they have, they're stained? Maybe they got holes in them. You know, some of the kids are wearing blue jeans today with holes all through them. That's the fashion. Are we going to be able to stand before God on the day of judgment and proclaim, God, I'm sorry, I didn't attend worship. I didn't come to worship you because I didn't have any decent clothes. You show me in the Bible where it says you got to have designer clothes, suit and tie, ball gown dresses, and high heels. Then I would stand up here and say, yep, brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. But you can't find it. Are we not really come as you are? Now, should we dress to the best of our ability? Yes. But sometimes our best may not be what the other people have. And I believe we should keep that in mind. Secondly, The next excuse often is heard is this. Well, it's not necessary that I come to every Bible class. It's not necessary for me to attend every worship. But what do we find in Luke chapter 20 and verse 7? Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Now, I guarantee you I'm not going to talk that long, but who knows? Which first day of the week is Luke writing about here? It's not a trick question. Which first day of the week is Luke writing about? Is it the first day of the week? Is it the second, third, the fourth? And this month we got five. So which one is he talking about? Most people would understand that it's every first day of the week. Not simply when I want to attend. If you go to a job, okay, let's just say you went and found work, and the boss come up to you and after they hired you and they said, okay, Monday you start at work at 8 o'clock. Do you have to have any clarification on which Monday it is? No, because you would understand that it would be every Monday you start work at 8 o'clock. So when Luke writes here, and upon the first day of the week, Sunday, okay, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached, they didn't have to question, well, which first day of the week are you talking about, Luke? Just as we would understand that if we were told we start work Monday at 8 o'clock, just as we understand that upon the first day of the week, it's every first Sunday, first day of the week. It's every, because we have one every week, don't we? Is not Sunday always the first day of the week? So which one of these can we eliminate and say, well, that doesn't count? Luke says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they come together to worship. So where else would you rather be? Oh, I know. We love recreation, love watching football, basketball. There's so many things that we can do upon the first day of the week that takes precedent over being at worship every week. Is that the mentality? Now, I understand people have jobs. Some people work on Sunday mornings. I understand that there are those who are ill, and they can't be here every Sunday. And the Lord understands that. But when we make excuses for not coming because we don't understand upon the first day of the week, or we don't understand thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, we have a problem, because it's very plain when we read and study and understand what is meant by love thy Lord, the Lord thy God, with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy soul. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, another excuse that I have heard, and I've heard these, okay? I've heard people tell me, well, I want to come, but I just don't have anything to wear. Well, I don't believe you have to be there every Sunday. And then some come up with the idea that, well, I'm not going to be missed if I'm not there. You know, there's people that are not here. I don't know about you, but I miss them not being here. Do you miss them? But some people believe and have it in their mind, they have the idea that they're not needed and they won't be missed. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start reading in verse 14. And I hope these passages here will help us to understand a little bit about the missing parts. Okay? Starting in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. For the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, and our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to parts which lack, that there should be no schism, or in other words, split, or gap, or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. For one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Remember the last part of the last verse we just read. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So when members are missing, then the body's not whole. I went to preaching school with a gentleman. And I call him a gentleman because he was probably 10 or 15 years older than I was, and I was 30. All of a sudden, he st- stop coming to class. Nobody knew why. Finally, after about a month, he showed back up. From here to here, from the tip of his fingers to almost his elbow, he was basically almost in like a cast. We asked him what happened. He said, well, it was kind of stupid of me, but I was running a cross-cut saw, you know, or what do you call these things, jigsaw or whatever them things are. Put the board down there and you pull the... He said, I was in the garage cutting wood, and all of a sudden somebody come to the door and hollered at me, and I scooted the board a little bit, and I pulled that and whacked off all of my fingers down to the last knuckle. Now, his body was no longer whole. Why? Because he lost parts, members of his body. Wherever you fit within the body, you are important. Wherever you fit in the body, you are important and are very much needed. Do you think that gentleman would like to have his fingers back? Yeah, he would. If you lost a body part, would you not want it back? Now, granted, I understand there's some body parts become diseased, need to be removed. That's different. But when you do not attend worship, Bible class, simply because you have other things more important to do, then you have removed yourself from the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. If we remove ourselves from worship, Bible class, then are we not removing ourselves from his body? How can we say or believe that we are not needed when Christ died for you? How can we say we're not needed? Being faithful in attending worship is being a good example and gives encouragement to all of those who are in attendance on the Lord's Day. You don't know how much it is an encouragement to me to see everyone here. But when, and I, it's just not me, but it's every Bible class teacher, every preacher, they spend the time to study, to present their class, go through it, and they study and present a lesson, and yet people aren't here. It's disheartening. Because I see the body is not complete. We are all members of one body. Which body part could you do without? Think about that. Can you do without your ears? Some people are born deaf. Some people go deaf. My wife thinks I'm deaf as a brick. And she's probably right. Because people talk to me here and I say, what'd you say? Say that again. Could you get along without your eye? What about your hand? Have you ever... I've done it, and I think I've told this story before. I used a 2-pound corrugated head hammer for building houses, framing, back when I was 19, 20 years old. And I whacked my left thumb, and it bled, and I put a big piece of gauze and Band-Aid on it, and I'm trying to hold the nail, and I whacked, and bam, hit that thing again. I throwed that hammer, and I tell you what, that thumb felt like it was gone. You can't do much without a thumb. What about a foot? Could you get along without one of your feet? If you want to know that answer, talk to Brother Don. He was without use of his right foot for quite a while. He'll tell you how it felt. If you are of the mind that you are not needed, then perhaps, you need to check to see if your pride has gotten in the way. Maybe it's pride. Maybe your feelings have got hurt. But is our faithfulness based on our feelings, or is it based on the Word of God? When we feel like giving in to excuses as to why we miss and don't attend worship, we need to remember Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, this is not talking about missing once in a while, being sick, being out of town, whatever other situation that might come up. Like Brother Mike Camara this morning, he was going to be here, but he ended up having to go to the hospital. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is what I'm doing. I'm trying to exhort everyone to be faithful, to perhaps quit making the excuses that we've made all of our life in attendance. Now, I'm not talking about illness, I'm not talking about disability, I'm not talking about those of who are the elderly who cannot get out all of the time, but I'm talking about everyone that's made an excuse to why they don't attend. Last of all, let me say this. Which of the excuses that we give for forsaking the gospel or forsaking the assembly, which one of those excuses will God accept on the day of judgment? Do you believe God is going to accept, well, God, Lord, I couldn't come because I didn't have the right clothes to wear? Or, you know, I didn't really think, you didn't say, hey, you have to be there every Sunday. You didn't say that. Well, actually you did. You think he's going to accept that excuse? Or is it perhaps you believe you're not needed? Do you think God's going to accept that on the day of judgment? Brothers and sisters, this is men in love and concern. I would love to see everyone here every first day of the week, unless it is simply impossible to be here because of health, emergencies, and so on and so forth. The lesson is yours. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, then please